demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Is that clip from A Christmas Story? That final clip there, the real news? Yeah, it just makes me want to watch that movie so badly right now. I'm ready. Halloween's done. I'm moving on. Thanksgiving? You're pumped about that? Mm-hmm. Food, yeah, sure.
Get food at Christmas.
But I'm in Christmas. My wife was ready to decorate last night. She was ready to rock and roll. Hey, the older you get, that's not
right.
The
right. Carrie got thawed out this morning.
I'm not crazy about that side of it. But there's a lot. That movie is one of them. That's not the big story, by the way. The big story is the Raiders are cleaning house. And Josh McDaniels fired again before his second season could end. He did not last two full seasons with the Broncos. He was 11-17 with Denver back in 2009 to 2010. He became the first non-interim coach in the Super Bowl era to be fired by two franchises before the end of his second season. So, that begs the question, Angel, is Josh McDaniels the worst NFL head coach of all time, worse than Nathaniel Hackett? Lasted longer. No, he's not worse than Hackett, is he? McDaniels isn't worse than Hackett. Unless, you know what? That can be answered this year. If the Broncos go on to suck the rest of the year and they win 5 games, then we would say, well, it wasn't really Hackett. It was Russ and Vance Joseph and a mix of defense. And well, Vance wasn't there last year. It wasn't really Hackett. And Sean Payton, even if he has a bad year, would not be considered a bad coach because he's won a Super Bowl and had so much success with the Saints. So, Josh McDaniels can be considered not the worst coach ever if the Broncos go on to have a crappy season. How about that for some logic there, Angel? Can you
just
get what
for
I'm...
the Broncos or just coaching?
Coaching ever.
Okay. So I think we more have to look at what the Jets are doing.
Who's...
for Hackett. It's like if the Jets' offense is bad this year, then okay, yeah, Hackett doesn't have it. I would still say McDaniels is worse because if Hackett can do that again and make an offense bad again, then yeah, he's there. But yeah, McDaniels is far worse.
I've got a list of guys, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on these guys compared to McDaniels. I got a list here I looked up this morning from yardbarker.com. Rod Rust, who was a coach for the Patriots back in the early 90s, is considered the worst coach ever.
If I had a name like that, I'd probably get out of public.
Ron
public
Rust.
Eye too.
Damn, how many times do you think the headlines was time to shake the rust off?
Yikes.
When they fired him, do you think that's what happened?
His first name is Rod?
Yeah.
Yikes.
They won their second game. They were 1-1. They lost their final 14, 11 of those by double digits. New England's minus 265 point differential ranks as the third worst in NFL history. So he gets to be the worst coach ever. Do you want to know who, according to yardbarker.com, the second worst coach is in the NFL? Very recent. Very recent.
Matt Rhule.
Nope. Think of...
Jim Harbaugh.
No.
Brian Flores.
Well, Jim wasn't bad because he went to the Super Bowl and stuff. Think of... dancing. Think of dancing. Sitting down on a stool while someone dances. Yeah, he's considered the... So Urban Meyer is probably worse than Josh McDaniels.
Like classify him as an NFL coach?
That's the thing. It was like so short that it's hard for me to even remember that he coached in the NFL. But he did coach at a high level in college and won national championships. So the question, I suppose, shouldn't be who's the worst coach ever. It's NFL coach.
National championships.
Well, it's very true.
Swamp King.
Bet you they get a lot of things stolen out of their locker room. Swamp King was a terrible...
From each other, actually.
Swamp King sucked so bad, dude. That was a terrible show. That was a terrible 4-part documentary. There's so much juice around that team, and you're not going to tell us anything about it? That was awful. Bobby Petrino... Atlanta Falcons is also considered one of the worst. That was a bad time in Falcons history. That was 2007. Michael Vick was sentenced to prison at that point on dogfighting charges. The Falcons' first year coach just left the team. So I kind of remember that. That was a long time ago. Rod Marinelli, Detroit. He's in there. David Shula, Bengals. Bill Peterson with the Oilers. Lou Holtz with the Jets. I forgot about that.
Oh, didn't even know he coached in the NFL.
He was 39. He tried to bring college-style gimmicks.
What year was that?
Oh, like 1837, I think. Jeez. Yeah. Like,
Lou Holtz was old when I was a kid.
He invented football, I think. And then he just said, I'll coach the Jets. And they weren't even in existence. That's how old he was.
Lou, we're just going to sit you in this chair and turn the TV on. Just start talking.
Lou, dude, he looks... Look at him. Look at him. That's Lou Holtz. Look at that hair.
I don't even know who that is.
That's not even the same. You're right. He's been old since I was born.
I've never seen that man in my life.
Art Shell with the Raiders. Yeah. Hugh Jackson with the Browns. He was pretty bad.
He went 0-16.
Well, wasn't he an interim for the Raiders for a second? I think so. I thought he was, and he wasn't good, but it was not like a colossal failure. I'm just trying to see. Oh, Josh McDaniels, according to yardbarker.com, is listed as 14th. And this is before he was fired. This article was written before he was fired. So now he's got to move up a little bit, right? Steve Spagnuolo is getting in the mix. He was pretty bad, too. Which one is this one, Smitty? How do you say that? Rich Cotite? Is that how you say it? I don't know. Cam Cameron, the Dolphins. Dolphins stuff there.
I've heard a lot of stories about that.
I like this name. Bill Arnsparger.
Is Adam Gase on this list?
Gus Bradley, Ray Perkins. Mike Ditka's in here. That's hard to believe, but it wasn't. Good when you are they talking? This must just be about franchises, like the worst job as a coach for that specific franchise. Rich Cotite.
Adam Gase deserves to be on that list. He was awful for both the Jets and the Dolphins.
This is definitely a list that is worst coaching jobs, to be clear. Because some of these guys, actually, I was like, wait, they shouldn't be. So this is just my bad. This is a list of coaching jobs, so with a franchise, not overall as a coach.
So I brought up earlier two coaches that that are still coaching that their first 2 years weren't great. Kyle Shanahan was 10-22 in his first 2 years with the Niners. Dan Campbell was 4-19-1. He's gone 13-4 since then.
So should they have given him more time?
God, no.
No.
This is the clearest sign that this is not a good professional football or any coach in that matter.
Well, I think the Derek Carr thing.
Yeah.
Like
Derek Carr,
what are we,
the like, Josh Jacobs contract stuff, the Darren Waller contract stuff.
And honestly, like Devontae Adams comes to your team, the main reason he didn't want to leave Rodgers, but he wanted to go to the Raiders so he could play with Derek Carr. That was his college teammate. And then you trade him. So you piss off your best player. And, I mean, that right there is a terrible move.
You spoiled your tight end's wedding or something.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
you
about that.
You didn't sign one of the top running backs in the league for some reason. You're trying to trade off Hunter Renfrow, who is the embodiment of Julian Edelman.
How is he not using Renfrow? How? Like, how does that not work?
Renfrow won a national championship doing what he does. And they don't use him.
And then thinking that Garoppolo... Now, I called the Garoppolo... I don't get everything right. Most things I do. I called the Garoppolo thing back in the New England days. They wanted him so badly. They were kind of ready for Tom at one point. But then, I don't know. And I didn't think Garoppolo was going to be good. And here he is. And that's who Josh wanted. I mean, this is the same guy that got rid of Jay Cutler. And you could say whatever you want about Jay Cutler. But he is probably the best Bears quarterback ever. And I know, that's like... You know,
I mean, it's eerily similar to the Broncos situation.
Same
with Derek Carr and Jimmy G.
Derek Carr to Jimmy G. If I were to ask you this last year.
With him under the Broncos?
Jay?
Yeah.
No, he had played, I want to say it was like right when Jay Cutler was starting to become good, too. Mm-hmm. So the Broncos just kept going 8-8, 8-8. I want to say that was like his third or fourth year. I could be wrong on that, but I want to say it was his third or fourth year.
Well, because now they're starting Aiden O'Connell. So Jimmy G just lost his job.
Yeah. I mean,
after all of that off-season drama about getting traded, getting a physical, and now you're on the bench.
Well, and the way he treated Derek Carr, too, the whole thing was weird last year. You just benched him. Didn't even let him finish out.
And, like, the Raiders fans, they love Derek Carr more than a lot of players.
Yeah, he was like their guy. Yes. And Derek Carr, like, I don't know. He's not great this year with the Saints. I think they're still trying to figure that out. With him and...
Well, they were trying to get Renfro for him.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like, I'm astonished, I'm amazed that Josh McDaniels would come to the Raiders and just do the same crap. The same crap that he did when he was the Broncos coach. You cannot treat an NFL team like primetime treats the Buffs. What I mean by that is you can't clean house... And bring in guys that embody what you want to do overnight. It needs to be a slow process in the NFL, especially. You can start bringing your guys in when it makes sense, when free agency creeps up, when the draft creeps up, and you can start looking at guys that you like. But you have to take your time. And Josh McDaniels didn't like Jay Cutler's style of play, didn't fit what he had helped construct in New England, so he got Kyle Orton. Kyle freaking Orton. And I like Kyle Orton. I do. But at that time, Jay Cutler was leaps and bounds above Kyle Orton. Same thing with Derek Carr and Garoppolo. Garoppolo, in is he out? Is he in? Is he out? Is he in? Is he out? When he was with San Francisco. And Derek Carr was still a franchise quarterback last year. So the idea that you would just say, no, we like Garoppolo over Carr, again, is so arrogant. And that's just another, that's one of the glaring issues that surrounded Josh McDaniels.
Well, there's also a videotaping scandal.
Oh, yes. Wasn't he, was that with the Broncos or the Patriots or both?
The Broncos. Yeah. They were under investigation after it's reported that Steve Scarnecchia, the team's director of video operations hired by McDaniels, videotaped a 49ers walkthrough practice when they were in London.
So who the hell was the Kansas City coach at the time? They, at the end of the game, go back to like 2009, head coach for the...
Todd Haley.
Yes. Todd Haley goes up to McDaniels at the end of the game, and McDaniels goes to shake his hand, and Haley meets the extended hand with a finger point to the face and said, "We know exactly what you're doing in the league. People are finding out what you're doing." So that's what it was. Like, he was doing the same crap that he was doing in New England. That was, I almost forgot about that. Josh McDaniels was so interesting, Angel. The first year, he takes over for Mike Shanahan, which is very tough. It could have been Andy Reid taking over for Shanahan. That would have still been tough for a lot of Broncos fans to take. So that was already a tough task. But the Broncos that year, 2009, start the season off with a bang. They are 6-0. They beat Cincinnati 12-7. Kyle Orton, 243 yards passing. They beat Cleveland 27-6. Kyle Orton, 263 yards passing. They beat Oakland at the time. It was Oakland. 23-3. Kyle Orton, 157 yards. Well, you had Buckhalter then running the ball. They beat Dallas 17-10. Brandon Marshall, keep that name in mind. He was a stud that year. Then they beat New England, his old team. They beat him in overtime. And what did Josh McDaniels do? He turned to the crowd. He starts pumping them up, and he's running up and down the field. And we're like, holy crap, we've got a new age coach. Like, I didn't see a lot of coaches showing that kind of emotion at that stage. Now I see it all the time. Your boy Mike McDaniels sprints up and down the field. There's emotion there. But Josh McDaniels was something different. Mike Shanahan was always very reserved. So at that point, I was like, holy crap, you beat the Patriots 27-10 in overtime. And you're running up and down the field. You're going up to the crowd. You're pumping them up. You beat Tom Brady. You beat Belichick. And then the next week, you beat San Diego. The Chargers at that time, or San Diego at that time, 34-23. You're 6-0 going into the bye. Josh McDaniels had arrived. He was undefeated as a head coach at the young age of whatever he was, 33 or something. He was young, 35 maybe.
He looks like too young to be coaching.
He was baby face, little buzz cut there. Then it all fell apart. They lost after the bye week 30-7 to Baltimore, 28-10 Pittsburgh, 27-17 Washington, 32-3 Chargers. They did win two more games. They won back-to-back. They beat the Giants and they beat the Chiefs. Then it was right back to losing. They lost to the Colts, to Oakland, or to the Raiders again, to Philadelphia, to the Kansas City Chiefs. So after starting 6-0 in his career, he finished the season at 2-8. There it is. There's the infamous picture of Todd Haley pointing his finger at Josh McDaniels, and he says, people know what you're doing. Yet, he comes back another year, has a terrible second season. He's fired before the season ends. The Broncos lost a lot of football games during his time. They were 4-12 his final season. He only coached, I think they let him go two or three games before. And it was awful. Then he goes to the Rams as an offensive coordinator for a bit, right back to New England. And then, Angel, what was the deal that happened like 4 years ago when he took the job with the Colts? And then overnight, he's like, never mind.
So 2 days after Super Bowl 52, McDaniels was announced as the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. However, McDaniels withdrew from the position on the same day and announced that he had decided to stay with the Patriots. In response, his longtime agent, Bob Lamonte, terminated his representation of McDaniels. The Patriots went on to win Super Bowl 53 in 2018, earning McDaniels his third championship as OC.
Why would Mark Davis hire him after all of this? And that Colts thing you just talked about is an issue. That shows me that you're not committed. That shows me you have a tendency to flip-flop.
Or he's not confident.
Not confident. All these things. So why in the hell, if you're the Raiders, did you make this hire in the first place? Given all that history that we have just kind of brushed over, we're not even into the meat of who Josh McDaniels. Like, players didn't like him. That's a given. I think it's obvious. But sometimes you wonder, did some people kind of like him? Nobody did. So then the Patriots worked with him because he could be a coordinator, and Tom Brady probably likes him, but not as a head coach.
I mean, the Colts were 4-12 in 2017 with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
It
looks like on paper a good position to walk into. It's like, okay, I got a veteran here. I can draft my rookie quarterback. And then you just said no.
What a wild ride it was. And then, so after Josh McDaniels was fired, John Elway entered. John Elway was hired by Pat Bowlen to come in and take over. He was then the VP or whatever, and his first hire was John Fox. And the bad man was gone. And Broncos country, or as John Elway said, in Broncos land, got better. Brighter days were ahead, or so we thought. Kyle Orton was still the quarterback. He was still the guy. Josh McDaniels had drafted Tim Tebow. He drafted him. He drafted Tim Tebow and Demaryius Thomas, which we will always thank him for that. He drafted both of those guys in the first round. And because I think the Broncos had like 21 and 24 or something like that. So he drafted those guys. They go on the next year, and then he's gone. And I think Sean Moreno was Josh McDaniels' first draft pick because it was the year before that. His first ever guy was Sean Moreno. Big Sean Moreno guy. So McDaniels is fired. John Elway comes in, hires John Fox. They're trying to figure out what this crap is that they inherited from Josh McDaniels. They got Decker, yeah, mm-hmm. and he was good for a moment. So 2011 hits, and the Broncos are out the door. They lose to the Raiders 23-20. But then, they beat the Bengals. Then they went on a three-game losing streak, and the crowd was booing Orton. They lost to the Chargers 29-24, but guess who entered the game? It was 29-17. Guess who entered the game? Tim Tebow. Tebow entered the game. They come back and make it a game. It's interesting now. They lost, but what happened that night? A crowd, a Denver Broncos crowd began cheering and applauding. I was at that game, and I looked around, and I'm like, we are cheering. We just lost, bros. Magic stuff happened. Tebow and company beat Miami 18-15. They went and beat the Raiders. They beat Kansas City. Tebow completed two passes in a game, in an actual NFL football game. They beat the Jets because what did Rex Ryan do? The whole game, we play contain. He can't throw. He's not good at it. Let's play contain. So they did that. Final play of the game, what did they do? Blitz the freaking house. Engage 11. Engage 8. What did Tebow do? He ran right around him. 50-yard run for a touchdown. Broncos win. San Diego, at the time, they beat them in overtime. What was Nick Kading doing before he went to kick the game-tying kick? He was peeing on the sidelines. Somebody had to cover him up with a towel. He realized he was on camera, has to go kick. How difficult would that be, knowing the entire world just saw that? They beat Minnesota. They beat Chicago. Marion Barber runs out of bounds, gives Denver more time. They beat them in overtime. And then they go to the playoffs. And they beat Pittsburgh 29-23 on one of the greatest plays ever in Broncos history, was Tim Tebow to Demaryius Thomas. That year was a wild year. And then, of course, we know what happened next. They lose to the Patriots. Peyton Manning is cut by the Colts. And Peyton Manning becomes a Mount Rushmore member of the Denver Broncos, and they win a Super Bowl. None of that happens if it wasn't for Josh McDaniels. Probably not.
So you're saying we build him a statue.
Is he on Mount Rushmore? Because you don't get Tim Tebow. You don't have this miraculous season where you go 8-8, and you might not get a Peyton Manning looking at that team going, hell, if Tebow can do it, I'm going to never lose a game there. Who knows? But I guarantee you Manning came to Denver not because he likes skiing. I think he likes, well, I know you can't ski in Denver. He didn't come to Colorado. I think he loves Colorado now. I think he liked it then. But Peyton Manning was a businessman. He wanted to win a Super Bowl. He wanted to become the greatest quarterback ever. He wasn't just going to go to a team just for the hell of it because he liked the city. He looked at the Broncos and said, man, they won 8 games with Tim freaking Tebow, completing 2 passes in a win against Kansas City. If he can do that there, I'm added in, and that's going to be 5 more wins. And it was 13-3. So Josh McDaniels, as bad as he was, the crap he did to the organization might have just led to some of the greatest stretches in Broncos history. 30 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, the Raiders have some interesting history now, too. Recent history. You're right, Angel. We were talking about it in the break. All this happened with Josh McDaniels is because, I mean, Gruden was the plan. Gruden was the plan for the Raiders, but because his emails and all that stuff came out that they deemed racist and detrimental, I suppose, to the team and the NFL. He was basically forced. The NFL didn't. They kind of forced Mark Davis's hand, or did he actually fire him, or did the NFL just say you? He's done?
I think it was kind of implied that hey, you need to let this guy go, or it's gonna we're gonna have to bring this investigation over to you as well.
So isn't Gruden doing some kind of job with the Saints? Is he being paid? He's like some kind of. I don't know if he's on the. I don't think he's on the sidelines or anything, but I think he was there with Derek Carr for a bit, maybe in the off season. I don't know why.
I think it was an off season.
Yeah, he's not really involved. He was just kind of part of there for a bit, advising.
He's still getting paid by the Raiders.
Yeah,
and now Josh McDaniels getting paid not to coach.
Well, they signed Gruden for 10 years, right?
Yep,
which is insane.
A massive deal.
You don't really sign coaches to 10-year deals. They're like 4 or 5 year deals.
And it was like, all right, you and Derek Carr. Carr's got a coach he can trust, and Gruden's back. And you were kind of optimistic about what the Raiders were going to do in the future, and all the pieces.
Oh, all those draft picks.
You can still see remnants of them a little bit, but they're not being used the right way.
Remember, it was Mike Mayock as the GM, and Gruden as the head coach, and they had all those draft picks and Derek Carr, and you really thought, okay, this might take a second, but once they get rolling, watch out, the Raiders are going to be really good.
Yeah, imagine what they'd have right now.
Oh, they'd be good. I would imagine they would be good today. Should the NFL have moved on from Gruden? Was that too quick of a decision? Now,
I get it because of the world we live in now, and someone's got to be punished. So, unfortunately, you're the one on the email list. So, but also as an Gruden is a part of the NFL.
He is so much
not quite to Madden's level, but
up
he's
there.
Up there.
Well, you always, I always hate this, but it's true. You know, people, when they talk about the Hall of Fame and they say, can you tell the story of the NFL without them? Gruden's one of those guys, it's tough to tell the story of the NFL without him. Both as a coach, commentator, and then a coach again.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart when it came to football. Not smart, of course, when it came to his emails. The poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Do you think the Colorado football players, should be reimbursed for items stolen from locker room at the Rose Bowl? And Tommy says the school only plays home games there, so it shouldn't be on the school. The stadium is owned by the city of Pasadena and managed by the Rose Bowl operating company, which is a nonprofit. Those players aren't getting any reimbursement. No. They won't. They won't. Should they be? Sonny says UCLA is responsible due to the fact that they secure the facility for their event.
I mean, they secure it in the fact that they play home games there, but UCLA is not in charge of getting security and maintaining concessions.
They're renting it, basically, right?
Yeah.
They're renting the place. And
it's like an Airbnb, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at the wedding on Saturday, Angel, the Schwintz were renting the place. If we got something stolen, we more have an issue with the place, not the Schwintz. We're not going to go to them and say, hey, by the way, my wallet got jacked. Can you pay me back?
Give me that new toaster you got.
Yeah, I know you got like 47 charcuterie boards. What the hell are those?
Small meats and crackers and cheese.
Oh, well, that sounds delicious.
It's like an adult Lunchable.
I mean, it wouldn't be on us to go to, we wouldn't go to the Schwintz. We would go to the place if we even had a case. So it's going to be who owns the stadium. It's not going to be on UCLA. Nobody's getting reimbursed. You cannot prove anything.
They have all the big, great NIL deals. They can't buy another one.
He said, Primetime said, our kids got robbed during the game last week. I think that's a travesty. I would expect the NCAA to do something about that. This is the Rose Bowl. They said the granddaddy of them all, right? I'm sure granddaddy had some money. Grandpa should have some money to give kids.
Granddaddy of them all exists for the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, which are not a thing anymore.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Coach Prime. There's no way you can prove what was stolen. We know stuff was stolen. I'm not denying that. But this has happened to him. This has happened under Coach Prime before. Is that right, Angel?
Yes, back in February of 2021, Sanders reported that his belongings had been stolen from Mississippi Veterans Memorial Stadium after his first game as head coach at Jackson State University. Officials reported the items had been moved, not stolen, but Sanders doubled down on stating that they were taken without his knowledge. The event made major headlines across the sports world as his first introduction as Sanders as the head coach. He did not mention the items being stolen following the Colorado football loss to UCLA as he did at Jackson State. It is unclear whether he is aware of it during his press conference, which we know he was, which took place shortly after the loss.
So he didn't say anything about it then, but he's saying something about it now.
Yeah, and when it happened at Jackson State, he made it a point to start his press conference by acknowledging what happened.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting.
But it doesn't seem like he knew immediately after the UCLA loss that happened. And it was a boombox that was moved.
Did they get... Oh, it was just moved.
It was moved, but I thought it was stolen.
Well, the number one thing here is you think you should be reimbursed. Let's say we're going to do it. What was stolen? Okay. How much was it worth? It was worth this. Can you prove it? Can you prove that it was worth that much?
Is there a limit to that? Like, I'm not giving you $1 million worth of jewelry reimbursement.
No, I mean...
I got to imagine, if Shador's walking around with a $70,000 watch, how much do all these other jewelry pieces cost?
Shador probably alone has 4 or 5 pieces of jewelry that are, you know, necklaces and watches.
Earrings, watches, anything.
Travis Hunter, I don't know. I don't know. I know that there's a few players on that team that have decent NIL deals. Mm-hmm. So, I tell you, it sucks. I hate it that anybody gets anything stolen. I hate it. It's awful. You can't trust people. I mean, but that's the thing. You can't trust people.
This thing happens in sports at every level. Like, this happens in high school.
This happened in high school with me. We had people get stuff stolen. I had cash stolen from my... You put your pants, your shirt, and all that stuff in your locker room. You hang it there, and you walk out. I knew it was one of my football teammates because nobody knew I had that money. I knew it was, but you couldn't do anything about it. What am I supposed to do?
Beat him up.
They interview. Yeah, he was a big old lineman.
Oh.
I don't know that it was him, but I had a feeling because he saw me put the money in my wallet. I just sold something to a friend, like a basketball card or something, and I sold it to him, and he gave me the money, and I gave him the card that day, and this other guy was there and saw me do it. So I put the money, and it was a substantial amount of money for me.
In the wrong context, this sounds very fishy. It
sounds like a drug deal.
I made a deal. And then somebody took my money.
Somebody took all my money. And that happened. This probably happens all the time in high schools. People probably sneak in. Small high schools, there's probably not security standing out of a locker room. Mm-hmm. You could sneak in easy. Don't do that, by the way. Eastside Chris, maybe there was a disclaimer sign, not responsible for lost or stolen items.
Pretty sure.
Most places say that.
Are there cameras in the locker rooms? I don't know if that violates
probably like at a door. Probably like at a doorway, or
at
something.
Least at the doorway. But
yeah,
so whether or not they lock locker rooms at halftime because you know, hey, player got hurt, he's got to go do X-rays real quick or something, or he's got to go get an IV or something. I don't know. That's just strange. Unless it was an inside job.
You don't know. It's crazy. Should they be reimbursed? The problem is it just. It's not going to happen. So I'm going to say no, they shouldn't be because you can't give me an amount first off, and then who's responsible for that? All right, I got some tickets to give away. 4-pack of tickets to give away right now for the Colorado Grit. Thanks to our friends at Steamway Florida Ceiling. You guys know them. I talk about them all the time. They have an amazing showroom and all that for your interior design needs. They're open Monday through Friday and then Saturday by appointment. I got Colorado Grit tickets right now to give away. Thanks to Steamway. 4-pack coming your way for this weekend. And they're going up against the New Mexico Ice Wolves. Let's go. Caller 4, you get a 4-pack to go see the Colorado Grit in action. This fun, exciting hockey team in our own backyard. Go support them, and you're doing it on us right here. Caller 4, 970-353-1310. 12:44 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Want to shout out to Cable's Pub and Grill. I think I'm going to pop over there this afternoon. They got $3 pints going on today and $7.99 for personal pizzas up to 3 toppings. Do I go pizza? Do I go burgers? There's not a bad choice at Cable's Public. Burger and pizza. Pizza burger.
Two slices of pizza replace the buns on the burger.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. That's the best idea you've had yet, Angel. Write that down in the good idea book. It's dangerous, but 49 minutes after the hour. Quick break coming up. Let's look at the Broncos quiet at the trade deadline. We'll discuss that. Nuggets back at it tonight. Big night for the Avs, too. They lost two in a row and outscored 8-0 in those two games. So really in need of a feel-good win. I'm not worried about this team, but a loss tonight would have me a bit concerned. 1249 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So the Broncos were quiet at the trade deadline. Didn't do anything. Sean Payton and company say, okay, this is the group we're going to go with. We're gonna see if we can make a push for this. I do think that Angel personally, and again, I say Sean Payton like he's the number one decision maker over there, not George Payton. I think it is Sean. Sean said the other day, Angel, we're not making calls, we're taking calls. We're not making them, and I should know. I would be the one to know. Well, actually, George would be the one to know, and then you, but according to Sean,
maybe
it's
George's
Sean.
Phone is Bluetooth to a headset.
Maybe.
Sean has.
Maybe. And then that's they go that way. But I think Sean Payton, for better or worse, the ego got in the way, too. You know, I said Nathaniel Hackett was the worst coach ever. This is the worst coaching job I've ever seen. And with this group that I have right now, sure, we've added a couple of pieces, but I'm not doing much better. I'm gonna prove myself right with all of this. I think some of the ego thing, as small as it might sound, is coming into play here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's his confidence as a coach. He wouldn't have taken this job if he didn't think he could do it. You know, he said he'd be upset if they don't make the playoffs, so you kind of have to stick to your word. And, you know, I don't think we would doubt Sean Payton at sticking to his word, but you got to see what you're going to do, and if the season doesn't end up fixing itself, then I think you'll look at, okay, who is up for contracts? You're gone. And he will start to slowly bring in his guys. And whether or not Payton is a part of that, we'll find out.
Do you think that Sean Payton truly wants Russell Wilson there? Does he see Russell Wilson as the real future there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think at his age, if this is his last stop, I wouldn't want my career to be seatbelted to this veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
Who may or may not have a dip or up in his last few years.
This is what's so troubling to me then. If that's true, and I believe you, I think you're right. I don't think Sean Payton really loves the idea of Russell Wilson being his guy.
I don't
guy
think
for
he's
going
to get rid
years.
Of him immediately, but I think Sean may go to that traditional quarterback route of, we're going to draft a guy here, maybe late first, early second, and he's going to sit behind Russ for a year.
Yeah, but why not acquire some draft picks then? If you think you can get, because now, if you really believe that you make
runs,
you
can swindle somebody out of Russell's contract.
Yeah, I don't see anything happening. And again, unless you're trading Patrick Surtain on draft night, getting draft picks and everything. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not over. You can still make trades after the season, right? When can you start trading again? Because we were all talking about,
like, right at, I think it's like late March.
Yeah.
Trade free agency opens.
So you can trade on draft night. You can trade mm-hmm. players. You can do that. So this idea that, oh, they're not going to have picks and they've wasted their opportunities to get picks.
You can still get in the top five picks.
Still do that. It's just harder to do that night of. Mm-hmm. It's harder to do that when I'm right here. I've almost got this guy that's really good. It's hard for me to give him away that day.
I think it'll be easier to see Sean's vision after the bye and after the Bills game, because you'll understand, okay, do we have a realistic shot of getting in the playoffs or a realistic shot at getting a high draft pick.
Right.
You have to pick a path at that point, or you're going to end up 8-9 and right in the middle.
So they gambled. It would have been a gamble either way, right? If you want to trade guys away, that's a gamble that these draft picks are going to work out. And you didn't trade anybody away, so now you're gambling that you can go make a run and make this season worth something, and you feel better about life. You feel better about yourself. Eastside Chris says, is it disrespectful to Judy that no other team ponied up, or maybe Broncos asked for too much compensation? Well, last season, we know they asked for a first-rounder, and they weren't going to get it. So that's why they wouldn't move. Were they asking the same thing? I guarantee you, if the Broncos were offered a first-rounder for Jerry Judy,
Off at a first, and the other coach is like, hey, no. I'm going to hang up real quick. Give me something else.
Yeah, I'll give you a third, maybe. I'll give you a third. And the Broncos are like, it's not worth it to us because there still might be some upside with Jerry Judy. Final hour of the show coming up next. Your thoughts on the Broncos not making any moves. Are you glad about that? They're not tanking. I was wrong. I thought Sean Payton and mentally was thinking, we're going to tank a bit. We're going to trade off assets and get draft picks. I was wrong. It happens. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.